evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Tuesday, May 23rd, 2017 edition of the American Awakening. I'm your host, Michael Herzog, and as almost always, I'll be with you for the next 2 hours. You know, sometimes I have to wonder if this is worth it. I got a bill today from CenturyLink, my internet provider, which I had to get in order to do this show, and the bill is totally different than the arrangement and the contractual agreement that we made, or that I made with the company to begin with, and I was on the phone with them for about 2 hours today, and it's an absolute joke trying to deal anymore with any kind of technical support anywhere, because half of them can't speak well enough English to be able to decipher what they're talking about, and then they get mad at you because you don't understand them, and ultimately it turns into a mess. Thankfully, I got it corrected, folks, so we're good to go. Tonight, I have my special guest back with me for repeat performance, John Hanke. John, how you doing? Are you there?
Delighted to be here, Mike. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. You know, John, there was a question that arose to me when I was thinking about what we're going to talk about tonight. And it just amazes me, John. I want to bounce this off of you to see what you think. It's so easy for me, and I'm sure you, to punch in any information that we want to punch in about any topic that we want to punch in, because the internet has been a fascinating gift to everybody concerned. But yet, for how many years now, you know, the mainstream media, and forgive me, but, you know, shortly after 9/11, John, the 19 Saudis with box cutters that hijacked the four airliners and crashed into the buildings, why did we attack Afghanistan instead of Saudi Arabia? Do you know?
Why did we attack Afghanistan at all?
Well, exactly. But that I'm not through yet. I just wanted to throw that out there. Because, you see, I'm trying to figure this out. I remember, and I can't remember, the exact date, but I remember four-star General Wesley Clark coming out and telling the story about the trip that he made to the Pentagon, and he ran into one of his old buddies there. And the guy, not verbatim, but he said, oh, it's worse than that. We're going to go into seven countries and take them out in 5 years. And Afghanistan wasn't even on his list. So that makes eight countries. And so I'm scratching my head here going, well, wait a minute. All right, if Saudi Arabia attacked us with box cutters, they're Saudi Arabians, and we went into Afghanistan that's not even on the list, what did we do that for? and not to mention the fact, John, we're still there. 16 years later, we're still there. This has gone on four times longer than World War II. Okay, can you give me some kind of a plausible answer here?
Well, there's two questions. One is, why did we go into Afghanistan? And the other is, why didn't we go into Saudi Arabia? Right?
Right.
And why? I can't answer the first one because I don't know. It doesn't make any sense. And, you know, even if you take it beyond the surface, that is to say, the surface is we attacked Afghanistan because that's where Osama bin Laden is, and despite there being zero evidence connecting Osama bin Laden with the 9/11 attacks, we demanded that they hand over Osama bin Laden, and the response of the Afghan government was, show us some evidence, and we will we'll consider the evidence, we'll evaluate the evidence, and we'll consider handing him over to you, but we're a sovereign nation, and we're not going to hand him over to you because you tried to punk us and say, you know, you better violate all your laws and abrogate the rights of all your citizens and give us this guy, despite the fact that we lack any evidence whatsoever. And so they stood up to
us. Give us this guy despite the fact that he's not even there, right?
But moving right along, this is the bombshell I want to drop. There's a guy named Peter Dale Scott, mm-hmm. and I can't remember the title of his latest book. I could walk over and pick it up if anybody wants to insist. He's just a magnificent researcher. He's a Berkeley professor, and he's been getting he's been on the right side and deep into the right side of this stuff. He wrote an article called From Dallas to Watergate in 1972. So, and anyway, just a brilliant piece of research. And in his latest book, he discusses and cites, you know, from the government documents that when the Saudis sign a contract for $100 billion worth of weapons, which they seem to do on a fairly regular basis, with U.S. contractors. The CIA gets, I don't want to make up a number, but something between 10 and 30% gets skimmed off the top and put into the CIA coffers completely black, completely unaccounted for. And if you think about it, and this is the case with the Kennedy assassination, and it's sort of interesting to raise in that context too, but we don't have to do that tonight, although we could. Who, you have all of these operatives. It's very, very clear in both examples that you have all sorts of operatives in place. On 9/11, they're centered in the FAA. But, you know, somebody went in and put in all those bombs. A bunch of guys went in and put in all those bombs in all those buildings, well, in those three buildings. And you can't shortchange people like that, right? You have to be paying them fat money to make sure that they know, look, as much as we paid you, if you think about ratting us out, you're dead. You know we're going to kill you if you, after we've paid you so overwhelmingly handsomely, if you say anything, you're dead. And you see that, by the way, with the anti-Castro Cubans, the CIA's Cubans who were all in Dallas the day of the assassination, and they all came home from Dallas and reputed widely to be spending money like drunken sailors. They were all very, 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 very flush. They got paid handsomely for standing around and attracting the attention of the FBI in order to distract the FBI from what was really who the real shooters were. But did I answer your question?
Well, you've pretty much given me the title for my show tonight, which is going to be called How the Spooks Work. Okay, so the CIA is the middleman. All right, the military-industrial complex is... the CIA is taking money off the top. All of these defense contractors are making huge amounts, billions and billions of dollars, to drop bombs on innocent people, pretty much. And then you've got... And here's where it really gets interesting, is that... As I said at the beginning of the program, I can go in and click a button on my computer, and I can pretty much come up with anything at my fingertips that I want to come up with. So how is it that for the last 16 years, and I'm going through this, Afghanistan was 2001, Iraq was 2003, and on the mainstream media, I'm looking at the reasons that were touted, all the Kool-Aid that was fed to the masses. Saddam, it was weapons of mass destruction that he had that we didn't find any. Libya, Muammar Gaddafi was a bad guy and he was bombing his own people. I mean, and it just goes on and on and on. And yet for all of these years, all of these lies, the vast majority of the mainstream public is still buying this crap. And now we're focused on Bashar al-Assad, okay, who it's the same script. It doesn't change. And so what we've got is we've got these spooks, the CIA, that are causing this havoc anyway. They're getting paid, what do you say, up to 30% off the top, okay, for the military contracts to build the bombs so that, Boeing and Lockheed Martin and these defense contractors can all go in, blow up the, what do they call it, the Mayab bomb, the big bomb that they exploded here about a month ago, okay, that cost, I don't even know how many millions and millions of dollars, and we've got to replace that bomb. Okay, so they put in a budget, the federal budget for 2018, okay, which is, I think it's about $600 billion for more of a defense budget, which isn't a defense budget anyway, it's really an offense budget, that's what it should be called, yet the American people still aren't buying this. Is it me? What are we doing wrong, John? Why is it that the word's not getting out better than it is?
How do you mean what is it that the American people aren't buying?
Let me rephrase that. The American people are still buying that, you know, Bashar al-Assad gassed his own people, okay? But Donald Trump said it. The vast majority of the American public is still buying it. The vast majority, and the biggest stink right now is this Russian hacking thing with Donald Trump, okay, and Robert Mueller investigating this. And there's absolutely no substance to it whatsoever, and it's all a cover up for where the real leaks came from in the WikiLeaks. Okay, yet the American public still sits back and does nothing, and I'm scratching my head in wonderment, going, why is it that I can get on my computer and do this with relative ease, and nobody else can figure this out? I mean, I don't want to say nobody else. RBN listeners know, and you know. But
well, I'll tell you I'm not a member of a chorus of people who are saying this, but it's my belief that the reason that Jeb Bush, in overnight, raised $120 million, right? I think his nearest competitor had perhaps 12 and maybe considerably less than that. But so at the beginning of the primary season, he had 10 times the assets of all of his competitors, of the most successful of his competitors, and perhaps 100 times the assets of his less successful competitors, and he could never get more than 4% of the vote. And why is that? And I give a big pat on the back to the 9/11 truth movement. And, you know, I'll give myself a little bit of a pat on the back while I'm at it. You haven't introduced me at all. And if you want, I'll introduce myself.
No, but I did. I introduced you. Yeah, I introduced you before you came on the air.
Oh, I see. I see.
I don't know. It's John Hanke, folks, for those of you who didn't hear me the first time.
Huh? Who's John Hanke?
John Hanke is the producer of the documentary Who Killed JFK and Who Killed JFK Jr. How's that? Now, are you working on Charleston as well, right?
Well, I did. I'm sorry. Actually, the reason that I'm happy to come on tonight, not that I wouldn't be happy in any case, and, you know, we can say in front of your audience that you and I have spent a couple of hours conversing on the phone just because we enjoy exchanging ideas over the last week. But I'm working on a film to cap the work that I've done on the Kennedy assassination. The most recent film that I did on the Kennedy assassination was called Dark Legacy. It was really a reincarnation of my original work that was called JFK 2, The Bush Connection. And the centerpiece of both of those films, and really it's the one is just a reincarnation and update of the other, is the overwhelming evidence of the involvement of George H.W. Bush in the assassination of John Kennedy. And I'm not the only person putting that forward, but I think I was the first. And that, you know, that's no big deal. It's nothing to get excited about. But I'm part of a chorus of people saying and pointing to the really, really, as I say, overwhelming evidence. The FBI evidence, and just, you know, the stuff from a stock biography of George Bush, when you link all of this stuff together, it's very, very powerful, indicating that he was involved in the assassination, and that's something that I'd like to touch on tonight in any case. Let me pat myself on the back a little bit some more, quickly.
I didn't do it. Go ahead. You got the floor.
I was always a serious student. I used to say I dropped out of college so that I could get an education. And when I went back to college, I had a 3.97, and I taught history for 30 years. And, you know, it's Michael's job to be on the radio every single day so that he has to touch on and does touch on different and important topics every single day. And I had the privilege and the really, you know, huge bonus that I got to teach history every day for 30 years. And when I was teaching history, we would open the book and go through the lies on page one, and then the lies on page two, and the lies on page three. You know, I would seriously let you cut off one of my fingers if I could go, you know, be 12 again and go back and sit in my class.
Wait a minute. Are you saying lies or lines?
L-I-E-S.
The lies. Okay, go ahead.
Yes.
Now, so it just proves my theory that 90% of what we learn in school is a lie. Go ahead.
Oh, at least.
All right.
All right. So, anyway.
Just verifying. Go ahead. I don't mean to get you off topic. Go ahead. Continue.
Well, so that's, and what I wanted to try to do is recap my thoughts at the moment. Right, to go over the ground, and it's not even recapping, it's pre-capping.
Before you go there, you just said that you'd go in and you'd read the first lie, and then you'd read the turn page, read the second lie, and the third lie. Are you telling me they allowed you to teach for 30 years, telling your students that everything that they were learning was a lie?
Well, I taught in South Central Los Angeles.
Okay.
And there's two huge advantages.
They don't pay any attention to what you're saying.
Not at all.
No, I'm not talking about the students. I'm talking about the faculty.
Oh, exactly. They don't give a damn. It's not the faculty. It's the administrators. Don't give a damn what goes on in any classroom.
Okay.
Mine included.
Just wanted to clear that up. Go ahead.
Well, and, you know, and I'm not a slouch when it comes to this stuff. And if somebody wanted to haul me in and say, oh, we don't like what you're teaching, well, okay, I'll show you my cards and you show me yours. And I got all the cards. You know, the principal hauled me in and one day and said, I don't like what you're teaching about the play The Crucible. And I said, well, back in my classroom on my desk is a New Yorker magazine article written by the guy who wrote the play, and this is what he has to say about it. And that's what I'm teaching, if you don't mind. And, you know, I got my English department chair sitting there with her eyes and mouth open saying, damn, this guy knows his stuff. Anyway, the lies that the... I'm part of a chorus of people saying that George H.W. Bush was deeply involved in the Kennedy assassination, and a friend of mine a couple of years ago called me up and said, you'll never guess who won the Kennedy Prize, the Kennedy Freedom Medal, or whatever it is they give out. The Kennedy Library gives out a medal every year, an award, a prize. And I said, no, I won't guess, because I'm not going to guess. Who is it? And he said, George H.W. Bush. And I said, no way. And he said, yes, Google it. And I did. And, you know, I've done 25 hits on the page. And of 25 hits on the page, 23 of them were about the involvement of George H.W. Bush in the murder of John Kennedy. And two of them were about him winning the prize. And you didn't get to those until you got down to number, you know, 17 or something, 12 anyhow. So that, you know, on the one hand, if, on another show, if you have me back, I'd be happy to present the what I consider also overwhelming evidence that Donald Trump is completely a fraud. And, you know, the people who voted for him because he ran as a peace candidate. And he's right? He's not.
Well, let me interject here something. Okay, so when you say it's a total fraud, I have to ask you this question because this is, matter of fact, I've asked a couple people this question. One of them is John Stadtmiller. As I said, I asked him, I said, do you think it's possible that the powers that be, the people that, you know, try to control or to try to steer your mind or your opinion, do you think it's possible that they were eloquent enough or clever enough to set this up? They knew Donald Trump was going to win? Is that what you think? Or he got in by accident? Or
they,
you know,
have more than one horse in the race.
Okay.
And the New Yorker magazine, which is, because it's published for an audience of millionaires, has a tendency to be careless with the truth sometimes because they figure, what the hell, you know, if some of the millionaires in our audience learn what's really going on, if they're smart enough and are paying close enough attention to put together the details that happen to be mentioned in this article in order to arrive at the rather obvious conclusions, but the conclusions that are not stated in the article.
Mm-hmm.
I apologize for the complexity of that sentence. But anyway, the New York magazine, I find, prints stuff that nobody else prints, and so that it's a very, very valuable source. What I get from reading that article is that there were leaders of the Republican Party, and I mean the dark leaders of the Republican Party, the billionaire, trillionaire bankers of the Republican Party, the people who own the CIA. Right, it bothers me a little bit when people badmouth the CIA because, you know, they're good, honest people in the CIA and not everybody in it is crooked. The only problem with the CIA is that it's controlled by these dark bankers. And I mean dark because you don't even know who they are, I don't think. You don't know the names by and large. I mean, John Kerry steps out of the shadows and George H.W. Bush steps out of the shadows. But those guys, the Bushes anyhow, Kerry's got money. The Bushes are lightweights. Right, they're no big deal.
Oh, you say Kerry's got more money than Bush?
Let me get to the point, and you can come back and ask the question.
Go ahead.
They have more than one.
Hold the question. We got to go to a break. Hold on to your question. Okay. Don't forget it.
All right.
Okay, folks, we'll be back in three. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening. We're gonna see if we can get some names here on who these dark spooks are. We'll be right back. See you on the other side.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hi folks, let's wind the clocks back 60 years. Food was different. Food provided health and nutrition, and using supplements was minimal. Unfortunately, now we have chemicals, GMOs, herbicides, pesticides that can be quite lethal in the name of our food supply. And of course, the ever-loving dollar. Supplementing our diets can be very important to stay healthy. Cleansing from daily intruders to the body might be critical. Live strong and take charge. Log on to GetTheTea.com. Our herbal tea is a cleanse from intruders. Our supplements is a great way to maintain and improve your health. When your health is not up to par, go to GetTheTea.com. No GMOs, no fillers, and organic, and very helpful in keeping you at the top of your game. Life is too short to feel, you know what I mean. Stay in the game, at the top of your game, with GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Again, GetTheTea.com.
Folks, we're back with the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host, with my special guest, John Hanke. And before I get back to my guests, I want to remind everybody that RBN is in a pledge drive. We're only about a third of the way there, and it's getting late in the month. We've got a goal we need to collect. And so I want to remind everybody to pick up the telephone and call 800-724-2719, extension 3. Michael will answer the phone. You can say, hey, you know what, I'm making a donation, so Michael Herzog will quit barking at me. If you want to send check or money order or cash, put it in some aluminum foil and send it to 2251 Double Creek Drive, extension 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Again, that's 2251 Double Creek Drive, extension 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Or go to the website at republicbroadcasting.org. Hit the PayPal button for a donate. Put a little note in there. It's because I was barking at you, okay? And as I told you before, as soon as I hit my goal, folks, I'm going to quit barking at you. But I'll tell you what, the pledges have fallen off, and I don't know that I've had anybody from my program that's actually called in. So I'm asking you, please, do this so I don't have to do this and you don't have to listen. Okay, one more time, 800-724-2719, extension 3, and Michael will answer the phone. So getting back to John. Okay, John, go ahead and finish your point.
Well, my point was that these guys don't have one horse in the race.
Okay.
And they own, of course, Jeb Bush. And I think I give a lot of credit to Republican voters that they understood that they also own every other candidate. And these big money donors who, frankly, I think are CIA dark money connected. That's what I read from studying their backgrounds, that they're throwing around a lot more money than they have. And where are they getting it? Well, they're getting it from the Saudis through the CIA. That would be my answer. Or, you know, lots and lots of different sources for dark ends up being used for political purposes, and we can do a whole show on that. But the point is that people correctly read what's going on. And so none of these candidates, including Romney, were seen favorably. And these dark money people were furious at Romney and furious at Karl Rove for having lost by 8 million votes to Obama. And they said, you have to do better. And then Steve Bannon jumps up. And here's Steve Bannon. He's been working for Goldman Sachs. And suddenly he cares about how the corporations are ripping off the little guys. And again, in this New Yorker article, Steve Bannon is spending money he doesn't have, and he's getting it from places that, according to the New Yorker article, cannot be substantiated. And, you know, we're talking tens of millions of dollars that he's collecting and using to promote the causes that he's promoting, which in 2016 turned out to be Donald Trump. And what Steve Bannon, good gravy, makes direct reference to Hitler and in this context, that Hitler ran as a socialist. Hitler ran saying, we're going to take care of the German people and we're going to have jobs. And people voted for him because they hoped in desperation that he would be providing jobs and you know, things, right, as a socialist. He's going to have the government stepping in, intervening in order to make sure that people have the goods and services that they need in order to survive.
John, let me stop you for a minute. Have you been moving closer and back farther away from your mic? My board operator is saying that sometimes you're fading in and out.
I will try to pay attention to that.
Okay, all right, go ahead.
I may have moved a couple of inches. Anyway, the thing that the German bankers figured out with Hitler is you find a candidate and have him stand up and lie and lie and lie and lie and lie about what he is and what he stands for. And Hitler stood up and attacked the bankers for starting World War I and for being caring about nobody but themselves and ripping off the country and being unpatriotic. And then he got in and handed the entire economy over to the same people that he had been attacking, which, if anybody hasn't noticed, that's what Trump did, right? He handed.
Well, I wanted to throw that in here because originally, yes, I was on the Trump train, and I'm not, you know, I'm off the Trump train now. I'm sitting at the station watching what's happening, but as I see this progressing further, and I see him over there with the Saudis and making these big deals, and evidently there's a deal that they've made as far as I don't remember how many billion, $100 billion over 10 years to rebuild the infrastructure here, But the caveat to that is that the Saudis are going to own the infrastructure, and it's going to be toll roads. All right, we got to go to a break. We'll be back in three. We'll continue with this. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, with my special guest, John Hanke. Stick around. More to come, folks. Be right back. Long segment coming up.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's I-C-A-N-G-E-T, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Hey there, quick question for you. Would you be okay with more energy, more endurance, thicker, healthier hair, a better mood, reduced appearance of wrinkles, improved sleep, improved blood pressure and cholesterol profiles, improved vision, improved memory? Okay then. Well now, have you heard of Nature's Youth RSF? It's from the anti-aging experts at naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com. See, at Nature's Youth, they understand exactly what it means to provide top quality health products. And Nature's Youth customers not only improve their health, they know they're also providing their body with the right nourishment to maintain that peak performance and fight the aging process. If health, wellness, and nutrition are what you desire, choose Nature's Youth RSF. I did. You see, you're going to get older. It's just up to you how you feel when you get there. Get started today. Nature's Youth RSF. Simple to use, simple to order. Go to naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
About 6 months ago, my wife bought Extendivite. She didn't tell me she was giving it to me. So after about 3 days, I said, maybe the weather's changed or something. I said, my legs feel really good. And she goes, well, I've been giving you this stuff, and it was the Extendivite. And you know that I'm about 75% better. I can actually climb stairs now, and I can get up out of chairs. I can even get down, and, you know, I got to work under a table or a computer table and work on a computer. I can actually get back up off the floor. You know what? It's an amazing product. I didn't think anything short of having surgery was going to help.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit partdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more, plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
All right, folks, we're back with the American Awakening. Long segment coming up with my special guest, John Hanke. John, what you're saying is that Steve Bannon came on board and wrapped his arms around Trump or the other way around, and what Steve was doing is using the same playbook that was used on Adolf Hitler as far as telling a bunch of lies to the American people to get him elected? That's what you're saying?
Tell them what they want to hear, and they will vote for you. And once you get in, you can do whatever you want. And that's the playbook that they used with Hitler. And it's very obviously the playbook that they used with Trump, I think.
It's starting to become more evident as time goes on. Ivanka Trump's over there with the Sultan or whoever they are. I mean, these people, and there was a post that came up from Lori Alexander. She's a Facebook friend of mine. She's got her own show. She lives up in Chicago. They're stroking these people, and the post that was made, these people are advocates of female genital mutilation, for crying out loud, and Trump's glad-handing with these people. I mean, this is ridiculous. Go ahead.
Well, they're committing war crimes in Yemen. That's the worst thing that they're doing. They're bombing, cavalierly bombing population centers and killing hundreds of civilians in a stroke and facing no consequences from anybody. And I've made a note, and I want to say it, in case anybody forgot why they loved Donald Trump. In the Republican debate, he attacked George W. Bush for being a war criminal. He's speaking to Jeb when he says this, but he says, Your brother knew there were no weapons of mass destruction. He started this war, there were no weapons of mass destruction, and he knew it. And that's a war crime. I mean, if there was anybody on the planet, if there was a government on the planet that was willing to live dangerously enough to say, yeah, we're going to take George W. to The Hague and prosecute him for war crimes for starting this war in Iraq, when he knew that there were no weapons of mass destruction, and he'd be doing very, very long time.
He also mentioned on 9/11 that George Bush flew the bin Ladens out when all the planes were grounded.
Posing for pictures that are more disgusting than the pictures of George W., which were plenty disgusting, right? The hand-holding is what I think everybody remembers from when W. was over there. But the stuff that I've seen is good gravy. And it's very, 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 very unsettling.
Let me ask you this, all right? If this is the case, and I'm not saying it is or it isn't, I'm saying it's beginning to look more like that's a distinct possibility. But if that's the case, then this special prosecutor that's been appointed by Rod Rosenstein, this Robert Mueller, okay, go ahead. What?
Well, he was appointed by George W. the day George W. took office with the plans for 9/11 under his arm.
Okay,
if his first act is to make Mueller the head of the FBI, it seems to me that it's all part of, you know, step one in carrying and executing his plan.
I realize that, John, but where I'm going with this is, okay, he's appointed Robert Mueller to head up this investigation for any criminality that may or may not have been found regarding this whole Russian issue, right? Okay, I mean, that's where it's at. So are they looking at, I mean, if Trump was their guy and Trump is in and he's not doing what he had promised the American people he was going to do, which he hasn't really gotten much accomplished. However, you know, according to appearances, it's because they're throwing so many stumbling blocks in his way, he can't get anything done. And, you know, this whole thing with this diversion about the Russian hacking or whatever, that's all it is. There's nothing to this. This is a complete witch hunt. Would you agree with that?
I'm inclined to agree that there's nothing to any of this. But let me back it up a couple of steps. I've been so hard and heavy into the Kennedy assassination for the last 50 years. I've been working on it fairly carefully. And it's very difficult to say what it was that the ruling elite killers wanted that they weren't getting from Kennedy. And when you point to the murder of Diem,
that was a president of the Philippines, right?
It was the president of Vietnam.
Vietnam, I'm sorry, yeah.
And okay. It is also, but it's also the major stepping stone of the U.S. into war was the murder of Diem and his replacement with the military. The Gulf of Tonkin is, I would argue, not the major step. The major step was the murder of President Diem, and you can't show that Kennedy gave the order, but you can't show that he was fighting tooth and nail to stop it when it seems to me that if he had any brains at all, he would have known that it was about to happen. You know, I hear those words coming out of my mouth, and I read a sentence today that Kennedy spoke, and they, Lodge and Harriman, are the two very dark representatives of the dark, murderous, fascist elite that were in as part of Kennedy's administration. And Kennedy says, Lodge and Harriman, and he rattles off a bunch of names, they're all on board with what our policy is now. And their policy that he had spelled out, and that's something I want to get to in a minute, had spelled out in National Security Action Memorandum 263, was that the U.S. was going to begin withdrawing 1,000 people a month immediately and would continue to do so until December 1965, when the plan was to have all American personnel out of Vietnam.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, let me stop you just for a second here, okay? Now, and this connects because there's a program here. If I remember correctly, Avril Harriman was Skull and Bones, wasn't he?
Avril Harriman was Skull and Bones, as was right. Prescott Bush and George H.W. and George W. and all of the founders of the CIA.
Essentially. What about Lodge? Was he?
I don't know the answer to that question,
okay.
But Lodge is a member of the ruling elite, right? If he doesn't sit at the table of Skull and Bones, he sits at the table, you know what I mean, when there's a dozen guys of the dirtiest, darkest, richest people in the world sitting down at the table to decide who they're going to, what leader they're going to murder in the world, what war they're going to start, what major person they're going to bribe, what other major person they're going to stab in the back, plant evidence print it in the paper every day until the guy is forced to resign. When they're having those meetings, Lodge is at the table by birth.
Okay. All right. That explains that part. So I'm trying to show the listening audience here, what I'm perceiving is that it's this same protocol, the same plan book with, Lieberman's on the front shelf to be, appointed or recommended for the leader of the FBI. And we've got Mueller that's in there that's heading up the Senate investigation on Trump. So is it, are they looking to impeach Trump? Are they looking to prosecute Trump? Are they looking to just, wave the magician's magic wand to fend off this other attention that's being paid to Seth Rich? Do you know? What's the answer?
That's a really good question. And, it's a really central question. And I'm, one of the questions is, to what extent are these guys poker players, and to what extent do they play the hand that they're dealt, right? Mm-hmm. They wanted Jeb. They got Trump. They would love to assassinate Trump just because they hate him. The Bushes would certainly like to kill him for what he did to their name.
Well, George H.W. Bush actually gave the throat-slitting hand sign, I believe it was at a debate. Wasn't it? Did you see that?
Well, I don't recall. Okay. And it doesn't make any difference. The Bushes don't run the country, right? The Bushes. This is a statistic I like to throw around, and let me throw it out as quickly as I can. Prescott Bush was a minion. He was a slave for Harriman. He ran Union Bank of New York for Harriman. Union Bank of New York was seized in 1942 as a Nazi asset. And right. You would think that if it was seized as a Nazi asset, that the CEO might be a little bit nervous about doing some jail time for it. Well, the CEO was Prescott. Prescott owned one share. Averill Harriman owned 4,000 shares. So that's the stature of the Bushes compared to the Harrimans, is 1 to 4,000, which is nothing except that the Bushes are the thugs. Right, the Bushes are the guys who go out and get blood and gun smoke on their hands in murdering people. And why they have a leading... They're the people that you get to see. You don't get to see the people who are behind the scenes. I'm afraid that I forgot the question that you were asking. Oh, the thing is, so what is it that they want with Trump? And I think one of the things that they want with Trump, I think, is to persuade us that they don't want Trump. I think that, because you said it, these charges are vacuous, right? They're ridiculous. Right. Ooh, the president of the United States was discussing foreign policy with the Russians, and ooh, Michael Flynn was discussing, after the election, Michael Flynn was discussing foreign policy with the Russians, and
I'm going to stop you right here, and I'm going to say this because this concerns me, and this is a personal thing, but I'm on a dating site, and I met a woman just the other day. I mean, what you're saying here, that particular philosophy of what may be happening is possibly what they are doing, and I'll tell you why. I met a woman on a dating site the other day that I got into a conversation with, and it started, she was calling it global warming, and I said, well, you're a little behind the times, it's now climate change, and I started getting into a bit of a political discussion with her. She was an avid, I call them tree huggers, avid, green thing, the climate change, the humans are killing the economy, the climate and all that stuff. But as I continued along with her, I started getting into where she was getting her information from. And she gets all around. She says, I don't listen to mainstream media, alt left or alt right. I'm tired of those people. I get all of my information from the Washington Post and the New York Times. Oh. And I went, oh boy. Okay. I said, do you know who owns those two newspapers? And she wrote back and she says, yes, I know who owns them. They're sane people. Have a good dating life or whatever it was. But what I'm saying is that the propaganda that is coming out, you could be very well be right here, is that they are propagandizing and psyoping the American public into believing that they don't want Trump. Okay. And the people that are believing this whole facade, you know, they have to continue to pound these drums of lies. If you tell a lie often enough, people start believing it. So when they do oust him in whatever manner, way, shape, or form, people are going to stand up and clap.
That's possible.
Okay, go ahead.
What is it? Well, I was saying before, it's very, very hard to delineate what it is that John Kennedy did not give these guys that made it so that they found it necessary to murder him. It's much harder in the case of Richard Nixon. Why did they go after Nixon? What is it that Nixon, he put Kissinger in charge of the U.S. government foreign policy. Nixon had very little to do with U.S. government foreign policy. It was all dictated by Kissinger. Well, what is it that they wanted from him that they weren't getting? I don't know. I can't really answer that question. I can make guesses, right?
Let me stop you right there and say, see, here's another red flag, folks, is that we've seen this now on how many different occasions that Kissinger is going in and out of the White House, and Trump and Kissinger are buddy buddies. And Trump is, I think he mentioned the other day, Henry and I have been friends for years. No, there's something else going on here, okay? I mean, and you're right. I mean, Henry Kissinger is who took over the foreign policy for Trump, and for Nixon, and we already know that something has happened here with the entire foreign policy involving Trump. It's almost like he said, okay, boys, here, you take it. I'm going to focus on domestic. What do you think, John?
Well, like I said, it's very, very difficult to point to what it was that Nixon was doing that failed to satisfy. It may be, I'm open to the suggestion that the ruling elite are like little boys who pull the wings off of flies or who tie burning flares to cats' tails or stick firecrackers, you know, blow up, small animals.
No, I heard a story George W. Bush used to do that, but go ahead. I don't know how true it is. Continue.
I wouldn't doubt it for a blink. And it might be that they're just having their fun with torturing Trump. That, to me, is completely plausible. It doesn't seem to me, if they're trying to impeach him, I thought they might assassinate him while he was in Saudi Arabia and blame it on Afghanistan. I don't know. Anyway, it may be that they're just having their fun with him and forcing him to do everything that they insist. I mean, do you think he really enjoyed kowtowing, bending down, humiliating himself that way with the Saudis? I rather think not, but he did it in any case. They may just be toying with him. I'll tell you what people in your audience may not have noticed. They took out Nixon, right? And who did they get?
Gerald Ford.
Go ahead.
And Nelson Rockefeller.
Nelson Rockefeller. So if you want to not surprise me, impeach Trump or assassinate Trump, take out Trump, and then have Jeb Bush made the new vice president, and you know Pence will sit there and take pictures and fill out the breakfast and lunch and dinner menus, and the government will be run completely behind his back.
Oh, that's right. If they did impeach him, or if there was a prosecution, because from what I understand, Robert Mueller is overseeing the Senate investigation in a prosecutorial manner, which it means that, you know, whatever they're trying to uncover is a prosecutable offense, which would mean that Pence would step up and then the vice presidential position would be open.
Then filled by
the appointment of Pence?
You can look it up. It's in the Constitution. It's one of the latest amendments that spells out how it is.
Go ahead.
I don't know what it is. It spells out how it is that
But that's a possibility that I hadn't entertained. But the other possible motivation that they have, and this came on from Alex Jones here the other day when I was doing my show on conspiracy theories the other day or last week. I remember I get confused now. But he was saying that the Democrats are looking at, you know, wanting to just overthrow the whole election, say it was rushing, hacking, the whole election is a fraud, we want all new people. Now, I don't know how far they'll get with that or if it's possible.
I would be very, very, very surprised if that's the truth. I don't find Alex Jones to be a very reliable source, and I don't have the least suspicion that that's what the Democrats are up to. And it doesn't matter. They They don't run the House or the Senate, so it doesn't really matter.
Well, the Republicans aren't really on Trump's side either. You know, I mean, John McCain hates Trump. I mean, what's this whole story with, you know, Lieberman? Well, everybody was hoping for Trey Gowdy to get in as the FBI director, and now they've got Lieberman's name on the top of the list. Lieberman, who I think is buddies with John McCain, who, at least on the surface, hates Donald Trump. So I don't get that one.
You will, if you look back, it's historically typical to appoint somebody as FBI director who has absolutely no political background, but never mind. Well, you know, we're sitting here trying to predict the future, and that's always I find to be not particularly.
We're going to take a break, John. Take a breath. We'll be back in three. Michael Herzog, the American Awakening, with my special guest, John Hanke. Trying to get to the bottom of some of this stuff, folks. I'll let you join in later. Be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation. And Angioprim is the result, a safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Folks, we're back with the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host, with my special guest, John Hanke. And you know, John, I was thinking about this through the break, and there's a lot of patriots, myself included, that are starting to get a little bit, or some of them a lot, upset with what Donald Trump isn't doing that he was promised he was doing. And if you take that in consideration, also with the psyop or the propagandic manipulation of the masses, of the, you know, the mind-numbed masses out there, getting them upset and convincing them that Trump's got to go, it would almost be plausible to think that could be their intent, is to oust him out of there, put Trump or put Pence in as president, and then appoint a vice president. I don't know if the Patriot community would accept Jeb Bush in that position, but the only thing that they could do about it other than accept him would be a civil war. And I don't know that that would happen. So the idea seems plausible. I'm not saying that that's going to happen, but it is a possibility. Go ahead.
Well, it's a possibility. But we're sitting here and we're watching and we're trying to read the shadows on the wall, and we're trying to read the tea leaves. And, you know, it's a tough job, and nobody should be, I think, it's a bad practice to try to predict the future. But you do want to at least be able to look at the past and to understand the stuff that has happened in the past. And maybe that pushes me to presenting some of the stuff that I had in mind. There was one other thing that I wanted to say about Trump, that it's plausible to me. Oh, geez. Well, let's talk about Nixon for a minute. Nixon was forced to resign on the charge that he obstructed justice because he sent Ehrlichman to meet with the head of the FBI and tell him that he should not investigate E. Howard Hunt's activities in Mexico because it would uncover the whole Bay of Pigs thing. Mm-hmm. And Ehrlichman was certain that the whole Bay of Pigs thing meant the Kennedy assassination. Nixon was in Dallas the day of the Kennedy assassination. Nixon told two different magazines two different stories about how he learned that Kennedy had been shot. Now, you're not going to find another person you're going to look a long time before you find somebody who doesn't have a very, 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 very clear recollection of where they were and what they were doing and who told them when they learned that President Kennedy had been shot. If he doesn't remember, it's because he's lying, and he didn't remember the first lie when he told the second lie. He stood up and, well, I'd like to get into that, but he went to Dallas to give a press conference in which he claimed that Kennedy was going to drop Johnson from the ticket. And it might be, well, I'm sorry, and I really appreciate you letting me try to go with this. The thing is that it wasn't a very major charge. He didn't order the FBI, and he didn't threaten the FBI. He suggested to the FBI that they should talk to the CIA. And the thing is that if Nixon understood the code word, the whole Bay of Pigs thing, to mean the Kennedy assassination, he was in with the killers in order to understand that. And he was in with the killers when he hired E. Howard Hunt, who he knew was involved in the Kennedy assassination. And so when they told him, when George H.W. Bush walked into the Oval Office and said, resign, that wasn't, you know, the congressman from Texas walking in and telling him to resign, and it wasn't his U.N. ambassador walking in and telling him to resign. It was the official representative of the men who had murdered Kennedy telling him.
Stop. Oh, was that okay? Aren't we at a commercial break? Or we're going to break. All right, hold that thought. We'll be back after the top of the hour break. Be right back, folks. And I'll keep paying. I'm not ready to make nice. I'm not ready to back down. I'm still mad as hell, and I don't have time to go round and round and round. It's too late.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
This is RBN, The Republic Broadcasting Network.